What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and boy, do we have a really entertaining post-game pod for you. This isn't one of those boring podcasts after the Hawks losses or after the Hornets loss where you're just like, let's get through this. Let's talk about the game. It was very boring. This was possibly the most entertaining Wizards game this year in 2026. And there were a lot of reasons for it. I mean, you had the news earlier today, and we'll get into it more later, that Trae Young's going to make his Wizards debut against the Utah Jazz on Thursday. Again, more on that in a bit. So you already had buzz around the arena. And then you had a scuffle in the third quarter between Tari Eason and Jameer Watkins. And Eason was ejected, but Trae Young goes onto the floor to argue with the official, and you can't do that. So he's ejected. I think it was kind of soft, but it's the rule. And so Trae Young, without playing a game for the Wizards, is already tossed. He hypes up the crowd as he leaves. Big standing ovation. That was interesting. And then a fan makes a half-court shot for 10K. The reaction, my friend Ben Strober posted that on Twitter if you want to see the reaction. The Wizards also posted the actual fan making it. So shout out to him. He won $10,000. You had KD pushing Bob Carrington and Keyshawn George getting a technical at the end of the game. This game sort of had everything. And you what you sort of lose in all of that is that it was a competitive loss for Washington, 123 to 118 loss at home. Probably not as close as it was towards the end. The Wizards made a couple of shots late in garbage time, and you can really tell how far into this tanking thing we are because the Wizards hit a three to cut it to, or at the end to cut it to five, but they were close at the end of the game. And obviously, Keyshawn George left with an injury. He wasn't playing, but Trey Johnson still had that minutes restriction. He only played, I think, 22 minutes. They brought Bilal Bub back pretty late in the fourth quarter, but the you could just tell, like, with everything that happened, the actual result of the game was like the last thing on everyone's mind at the arena. And while Washington lost, everyone probably had a blast because they didn't go in expecting a win. So definitely a lot to unpack in this episode. And before we even get into the actual episode, you have to start with Trae Young and the news coming out today that Trae Young will make his Wizards debut on Thursday at Capital One Arena against the Utah Jazz. This has been, building for a bit. The Wizards have been saying, Trae Young has been progressing his rehab. They said he would start on-court basketball activities, all that stuff, and really ramp up contact-wise after that Hawks series. So Friday, Saturday were his first real days of that. And then you obviously, basically a week from then, are already marking it down that he's playing. The Wizards posted a video on Instagram, and the caption was just March 5th, and it was Trae Young. And then Shams reported a couple minutes later that Trae Young would officially be making his debut on Thursday. Brian Keefe said and told reporters at the game tonight beforehand that Trae will be on a minutes restriction, as I expected. He'll play around 17 to 20 minutes, as Keefe said. And again, it's nice to see. Like the Wizards acquired these two, star players, but you hadn't seen them, and that's very rare, especially at this point when maybe Trae could have played earlier. But they were really cautious. They ramped him up. And so now I think he'll be able to come in, pick everything up. He's probably been learning the system, the offense, ever since he got to DC during that rehab process and that time that he was recovering. And so I think he'll be able to step in and do a really good job. Still be on a minutes restriction. I'm sure he'll start. And that'll be very interesting as well. It's not too difficult. I mean, Bob Carrington has been your starting point guard for a couple games now. He'll just go to the bench. And then you'll have Trae Johnson. I would assume the starting lineup is Trae Young and Trae Johnson in your backcourt. Koulibaly and Keyshawn George on the wings slash forwards. And then, if Sarr returns at some point, he'll be your center, but he's still week to week. So I would assume if Tristan Vukcevic missed tonight's game with a thigh contusion, probably not the most long-term injury. So I would assume if he's back by Thursday, he'll be the starting center. If not, it looks like it'll be Julian Reese, who started tonight in his first NBA game. More on that in a bit. But that's probably who I think will start, and Trae will play alongside him. And the only piece that's pieces that are missing there will be your front court in Sarr and AD. And so that's obviously you want Trae to do well, but you want to reserve some judgment because obviously he hasn't played since December 27th with that quad contusion with that MCL sprain. He has never played with the Wizards in this system before, with these teammates before, and he's a point guard that's big in pick and roll and pretty heavily relies on his bigs in terms of running to the rim, in terms of setting screens and all that stuff. And so when he doesn't have his two primary bigs that he'll be playing alongside, It's going to be a little bit tough to judge him and what he does, especially coming off the injury. But I'm excited. I mean, Washington hasn't had a player of this caliber since Russ, and I guess the best player they've had was Brad, because they obviously traded Russ before they traded Brad. But it's been a while since they've sort of had like this superstar player. And so I think there will be a lot of people there. I think it's certainly not an accident that he's making his debut at home. You obviously have ownership that wants to capitalize on it. You can't, I'm not blaming them for doing so. I'm sure ticket sales have been down. And so I think Capital One Arena is going to be pretty alive on Thursday. I think that's going to be pretty cool to see with that player introduction. It's the first game that Trae Young has played for Washington. First time introduced as a starter. It's going to be his first minutes, first bucket probably as a Wizard. And for Wizards fans, their first real look at what is expected to be their point guard of the future, a guy who's made all the NBA teams, who's, I think, a four-time NBA All-Star, led his team to the conference finals. Like, he's 27. Is he what he used to be? I don't want to say no because he's still young, but he it's going to be a bit before he gets back to that. But the Wizards, I think, are a good place for him to do so. It was also reported today in the Steinline by Mark Stein that it's widely expected around the league that the Wizards will extend Trae Young. Stein said he was hearing 3-year deals. I don't want to speculate how much money because Mark didn't even put numbers in his thing or in his story. But 3-year extension, again, it makes sense. The Wizards didn't trade for Trae Young to let him bounce in free agency. And I don't think Trae Young wants to pick up his $49 million player option and be playing for an extension next year when he's in a really good negotiating spot to negotiate one this offseason. So that makes sense if that's the case. But it's been a pretty low point for the Wizards. I mean, the rebuild's not fun, but at least they'll get Trae back. And I know a lot of fans are probably saying, Greg, why are they bringing him back? Aren't they trying to lose? Especially, why are they bringing him back against the Utah Jazz? Let me tell you right now, the Utah Jazz just got beat twice on their home floor by the lowly New Orleans Pelicans. Zion didn't even, or Zion played both games, actually. But it's not like the Pelicans are world beaters. It's not like they're a good team. They have 19 wins. They're not good. But they dominated both those games in Utah because the Jazz are sitting a lot of their guys. They're allowing a lot of them to get season-ending surgeries. Maybe they didn't need them. Maybe they did. Markkanen's out with some sort of injury. No Jaren. No Nurkic, who's out for the year. Keontae George hasn't played in a while. I don't even know what injury he has. And so the Wizards are honestly probably winning that game anyway. And if you're the Wizards, I think after that is when you play the Pelicans, and then you have a gauntlet of a stretch against like 8 or 9 teams that aren't just like good. They're like top six solidified playoff contending teams. And so, will the Wizards win any of those games? Probably not. They also need to make sure that they're not getting the hammer brought down on them, like Adam Silver was saying about tanking. And so, obviously, I get it. I get the frustration. It's like you say you want to do one thing, but you're kind of doing something counter, intuitive and counterproductive to that. I get it, but they're going to bring him back at some point. And they're bringing him back on Thursday. It's going to be really cool. I'm excited to see what the vibes are like, what the crowd, the atmosphere is like in the arena. Because it's been a while since you've sort of seen that place rocking, that place alive. And so that'll be cool to see. But Trae Young is back on Thursday. A couple other things. D'Angelo Russell did not agree with the Wizards, at least no reports have indicated that he has agreed with the Wizards on a buyout, which means he's still on the team. He's still under contract for $5.5 million this year. He still has his $5.9 million player option next year, which I would assume he's going to opt into. Brett Siegel of Clutch Points reported earlier in the week that he's going to stay with Washington because he has no suitors, no interest around the league from contenders. It seems like that report was true because, if Russell's bought out now, he can't join a contending team and be eligible for the playoffs, which would be really the sole point of giving back some money to do so. And so, yeah. All signs point to the fact that he'll stay with the team. Will he play a game? I doubt it. It would make zero sense from either perspective to do so. Will he opt in? Maybe. We'll see. Maybe they find a suitor for him, but they can afford to pay D'Angelo Russell. So again, we'll see how that all works out. But no, a buyout was reached by the March 1st deadline for him to be eligible for the playoffs. Going into the game, right? We talked a lot already in this pod, about 10 minutes. We have not mentioned this game yet in detail. You have a good Houston team coming into this game. The Wizards already had a couple injuries, and they had no real bigs that were healthy. They didn't have Sarr with the hamstring. Obviously, AD's out with the finger sprain. Anthony Gill was a game time decision, but missed due to an illness. And then Vucevic, obviously, with a thigh contusion. That's four of your bigs that were all out. And so who'd they turn to? They turned to Julian Reese, the guy they just signed to a two-way deal on Saturday to make his NBA debut starting at center and just says, you know, hey, you're gonna guard Alperen Şengün. And you that probably went as you expected. Reese held his own. He's actually a bigger dude than I thought. He's an awesome rebounder as well. That's really where he made his money at Maryland and with Raptors 905 in the G League this year. He's not a pushover. Like, he's got game. He's good, but I mean, Şengün's an all-star. And Reese is playing his first NBA game. So a lot of times that matchup went as expected. Reese won a couple, but Şengün won way more, and he dominated. I think he had 19 in the first half. I don't know how many points he finished the game with. He finished with 32 on 12 of 20 from the field, 12 boards. He had 8 turnovers though, which is not good. And again, you can't really knock Reese. Like, he's going up against an all-star in his first NBA game, playing big minutes. I actually thought he was all right, you know. Shout out to him. That's not an easy spot to come into, but I thought he played well otherwise. Scored his first bucket too, which started a 10-0 Wizards run. So nice for him. I'm sure he'll play a lot and towards the end of the year. Like, you probably won't see AD return. Sarr's going to be out for a week or two, and maybe even more. You have Vucevic and Gil sidelined for the time being. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, Wizards play tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays in that game as well, or and starts. And I wouldn't be surprised if he plays more down the stretch. But getting into the actual game recap, the Wizards actually shot the ball like lights out in this game. I believe if I pull up the team stats, they made 19 of their 35 threes. They shot 54% from three at home and still lost, which is kind of cool, kind of impressive. Which is funny. They made 9 of their first 12 threes. Like, they couldn't miss in the first quarter. But it didn't really matter because, like, they only had a 4-point lead, and then they lost in the second quarter by 13. Lost third by 5, pulled it back in the fourth, but again, way closer, I think, than the score probably should indicate in this one. But like I mentioned, no answer for Şengün down low. The biggest takeaway I have for this game, and we'll get into like some of the crazier aspects, from like a complete Wizards nerd that I am, and just someone that like watches the team a lot and has watched them so much for the last couple years. This is the most confident I've seen Bilal Coulibaly from beyond the arc. Again, we're not going to talk about the Trae Young ejection right now. We're not going to talk about the half-court shot. We're going to talk Bilal Coulibaly's outside jumper because it's something that has to be mentioned. Over his last 5 games, he's shooting 55% from three on a good volume. It's around 3 to 4 three-point attempts per game, and he's knocking him down at above 50% clip. Tonight, 5 for 7 from beyond the arc. He finished 9 of 16 from the field, season-high 23 points. 5 three-pointers is the most Bilal has ever made in his career, and did that on just 7 attempts. For a guy who's an awful three-point shooter, and sort of that's what the talk. Like, I'm not even being mean when I say that. When you're sub 30%, like, you're a pretty bad three-point shooter. The stats back my statement there up. But the last couple games, he's been awesome, and he's been confident. And that's the main thing, is like, even if he misses his first shot or his first couple, he's gonna knock him down. Like, this game, he started 1 of 6. I think he only made 1 of his first 3 triples, but then he kept shooting and he kept making them. And at the end, what did he make? He started 1 of 6, which means he was 8 of 10 the rest of the way. And then he made 4 of his next 5 threes. I think he made 4 of his next 4 threes, if I can do my math correctly, which apparently I can't. But he made 4 threes in a row. And there was a stretch, he sort of turned it on towards the end of the first half. He scored 11 of his 14 first half points in about 2 3-minute stretch. Knocked down 3 triples, caught a lob. I don't know who threw him the lob. I know Bob Carrington threw him a big lob in the second half. And then he made another rhythm three in the second half. And so a lot of times with Bilal, you see it's like, yeah, the first quarter he's great and then he doesn't do anything. Or the first half he's great, he doesn't do anything the rest of the game. Tonight was one of those rare, cool moments where Bilal stacked a good first half and a good second half, and it obviously turns into a season high 23. Just his confidence from the outside, but on top of that, the fact that he's making them, he's being more efficient from the outside. You know, that's just the cherry on top. And again, he's in a contract year. He can get that extension anytime he wants. He's still under, I think, 1 more year of his rookie deal, but he becomes contract extension eligible on that rookie scale extension. Will he get a max? No shot. But I could very well see him getting a 4-year, $80 million deal. I could see him getting a 4-year, $90 million deal, maybe even 100. I think that's a little rich for a guy who, you know, in totality isn't a great 3-point shooter and certainly has his moments where you're like, I don't know if he should get extended. But it's games like this, the last 5 games, especially tonight, where you sit back and you say, man, if he can shoot the ball like this or even sort of like this, and he can be this confident, this aggressive on offense, And you're not even talking about how good he is on the defensive end because he had two blocks and a steal. I mean, one was just like he just walled on defense. He just walled his assignment up, and then he went up for a mid-range, just packed it. He had one where a guy was going up for the layup, came from behind again, packed it up. Like he's so elite on that end. He takes so much pride there that you sort of don't even consider him as that great of a defender because it doesn't even process. It's like, you know, there's a lot of guys that can do it on the defensive end, and maybe they're lacking on offense. And all you focus on is the fact that they're lacking on offense, and you don't even realize how great of a defender they are. That's sort of what I think Wizards fans have, and I fall into that trap too, where it's like you don't even realize what you have on that end because you're so concerned with, well, he can't make the open three, then he's not going to be good enough for an extension. Like his defense alone, I think, makes me want to keep him around. It warrants an extension. But if he's able to stack games like this and he's able to play with this much confidence, especially for the final 24, 25 games, I mean, Will Dawkins is writing him a check this offseason. I can guarantee you that. And the better that Bilal plays, the more lucrative that will be. He sort of controls his own destiny the last couple of games. So I think you'll get a lot of good, confident Bilal for the final like one quarter of the season. And that's something that I'll sign up for gladly. I'll be excited to see that as well. But he was great. Again, team high 23 points season high. 23 points for Bilal. And then the second half was sort of downhill for Washington. Three turnovers in the first 40 or so seconds. 7-0 Rockets run. They brought it back with a 10-0 run. Reese scored his first NBA basket. I believe George made a three. Bub made a three. Bilal had a dunk alley-oop. And like they sort of brought it back. But then, you know, Houston kind of pulled away ever so slightly. And they won the game as a result. Now we'll get to sort of the fireworks of the whole game. Which occurred in the third quarter, and I'll sort of take you through it. If you haven't seen it, I'll describe it. Tari Eason, who again is known for a little bit of a chippy play style. I don't know what happened before this, but he's running down the court. Houston has the ball. Jameer's just standing near the three-point line, and Tari just runs into him blatantly and shoves him. You can see the extension of the arms. Jameer goes flying, falls on his back. He's sort of sitting there like, what just happened? And they don't call anything. Houston ends up scoring. Washington runs back on the other end. Jameer's running down. It doesn't seem like he's going to do anything. And again, Eason just gives him a two-hand shove. And then Jameer sort of takes a step. And it didn't even seem like he was like stepping to do something. Maybe exchanged words, but the refs sort of step in between. And so from your you know, if you're Jameer Watkins, you're like, hey, you just ran me over there blatantly, shoved me to the ground. You didn't call it. They scored. I run down here. I'm minding my own business. I'm not going to retaliate like most people would in my situation. And I get shoved again. Like, what do you want me to do? I have to defend myself. And I didn't do it physically. I just, maybe he said something. I don't know. But the refs break it up and they go to review it. And then after the review, the first thing that Tony Brothers, or I think it was Tony Brothers, whatever the crew chief on the game was, says is Trae Young has been ejected for running onto the court during the scuffle, which is crazy because like if you're watching the broadcast, you don't see that Trae went onto the court. And if you don't know, in the NBA, when there's something like that occurring, like an in-game fight or a scuffle, players on the bench are not allowed to leave. And if you leave, it's an automatic ejection. And honestly, I believe an automatic one-game suspension. I'm sure it could be reviewed and probably, you know, maybe the Wizards will appeal it. I don't know because it wasn't Trae didn't do anything to like escalate the fighting, but essentially Trae walked onto the court in street clothes, not playing, and it was pretty, you know, emphatically screaming at one of the officials. I didn't see what he was saying. He was pointing at him and screaming. The gist was probably like, call the foul. How are you going to allow this guy to run my teammate over and then push him on this end? And then you're going to call my teammate for a technical foul as well. Like, that's backwards. What are we doing? At least call the foul on the other end. You missed it. And obviously, it's nice. He's defending his teammate when he's not even playing. And that's good for culture as well. Like, you've seen him coaching guys up, you've seen him getting into games. It seems like he is like this rejuvenated shot where it's like he was a good leader in Atlanta. And I think that ship kind of, you know, ran its course. But now he has a new opportunity with a young core, an ascending core alongside AD in a new city, a new team to sort of take that team to new heights. I think he's really excited about that opportunity. And he's taken the first month or so he's been in DC to sort of run with that and build that culture and establish himself as a guy that's going to lead. He's going to be there for his teammates, whether they're a veteran or whether they're a rookie. And he showcased that tonight. Jameer, I mean, he's probably known Jameer for a couple weeks. And for Trey to stick up for him like that, get ejected, I'm sure that means a lot for Jameer. I'm sure it means a lot for the rest of the team. So that was a cool moment. And it was cool because, I think it's at D Love Sports on X. I retweeted the video she posted, but you can see in that video as Trey exits the court, he's kind of laughing, like, come on, man. I got ejected for that. But from what I saw in the video, from what reporters of the game tweeted, it seemed like Cap One was loud, like standing ovation on their feet for Trey. Just showing like, hey, we appreciate the fact that you were animated. We appreciate that you care, right? And it's been a while since you've seen sort of that fight and that care from a star player. No shot at Beal, but those final days, it was kind of like, come on, man. Like, we want to see something. And so if you're a star player who hasn't even played a game for the team, that's his first like in-game stat for the Wizards is an ejection in the game he doesn't play. It's kind of funny. It's kind of legendary when you think about it. The first thing that you'll see in Trae Young for a Wizards game and in his career is not a bucket. It's not an assist. It's that he was ejected when he wasn't even playing, which is kind of funny. But I really like that. I think it's a culture building moment. I think it shows that he cares. It shows that he wants to lead and be a leader by example for this team. I had a lot of people asking me about the possible suspension. Again, the Wizards play on Tuesday, which is tomorrow by the time I'm recording this. So, like, even if Trey gets suspended, which I think it's like an automatic suspension because he left the bench area during an in-game altercation. Let's say he does get suspended, which I think he will. He'll miss Tuesday's game, a game that they had already said he's not going to play in. So, is it that big of a deal? Obviously not. Even if he suspended one game and he misses the Thursday game against Utah, I think it's still a great moment for him as a leader and for him as sort of this guy the fan base is sort of rallying behind. I loved it. I really liked the passion he showed. And we're going to see that on Thursday against Utah. It's going to be pretty fun game. I mean, Trey even tweeted, I want to pull up the tweet, but he tweeted with like 2 minutes left in the game, like from the Wizards locker room, Trey Young tweeted. He said, "Don't expect me to get ejected too many more times, DC," with the laughing emoji. But I'm definitely bringing that energy and competitiveness when I'm back from my brothers. Again, if you're a Wizards fan, like you love it, right? Like that's your star player that's like taking an active role in being a leader, but also like he cares, right? He does. And that was really cool to see for Wizards fans, and I'm sure for Trey as well. That's his first action and his first like real like. Thing at Cap One is getting ejected. Pretty funny. Apart from that, a fan made a shot, half-court shot for 10K. He was dapping up the Wizards players. It was pretty cool. My friend Ben Strover posted like the aftermath video of it. But just kind of a wild night at Capital One Arena. You mean like the last game against Toronto was just like a bleh, like dull. They played all right, sort of competitive, but you all knew they were gonna lose. Not a lot of people were at the game, not many things to like really get excited about. And then you go tonight, Trey gets ejected without playing. Fan makes a shot for 10K. You have the news that Trey's going to play on Thursday. You have actually a decently competitive game. Tari Eason gets ejected. Jameer gets a technical. KD gets a technical. A lot of stuff happened in this game. And the Wizards ended up losing 123 to 118. Kind of like a perfect tanking loss when you think about it. Fun night. Young guys played pretty well. Trey's coming back. And they lost to a good Houston team, but they competed towards the end until the end, and that's what you obviously like to see. But they fall to 16-44. One note: Keyshawn George did leave in the third quarter. He took a hard screen, held his elbow earlier in the game. Wizards officially said it was a left elbow sprain. He didn't return for the rest of the game. I don't know if he would have played anyway because he hasn't been playing fourth quarters. Trey Johnson again around 20-22 minutes restriction still. So is George. Both probably wouldn't have played anyway. We'll be curious to see if he plays tomorrow. Second of a back-to-back, I again highly doubt it. But we'll see on that. Also wanted to take a note to mention, Jane Hardy actually had a pretty solid game. Sort of like the scoring he produced. Again, you're gonna have games where he's not making anything, but games like tonight, efficient 6 of 9 from the field, 14 points, 4 boards. I thought he actually played a pretty good game. You had Sharif Cooper, who like I know it's gonna be tough maybe for him to make this team next year. But I mean, I would keep a two-way spot open for him 100%. There's like, he's tiny for an NBA player. I get it. But like at a certain point, like the production is just too hard to like overlook. I mean, tonight, off the bench in just 17 minutes, 21 points on 8 of 10 from the field, made 3 of his 4 threes, 2 boards, 3 assists, no turnovers, and was a +7 in a 5-point loss. That's pretty good. I mean, regardless if he's 7 foot or 6 foot, that's a good game. He's so crafty, and he's a small player, but he's able to blow by with his speed. He's able to get to the rim pretty easily. It's not like he's a guy that just hovers around the 3-point line. He gets blocked every time he goes into the lane. Like he's small, but he knows that. He's known his whole career, and he's crafty in terms of how can I get my shot off? How can I blow by this defender? He knows when to go and attack and when not to. And I like that about his game. And I mean, he made a garbage time three that probably inflated the stats a little, but even if you take it away, that's 18 on 7 of 9 from the field, 2 of 3 from three. Like he's still got good numbers. So I actually was really intrigued, and I've been intrigued by him. Champagne, another solid game, 12 points, 5 of 7 from the field, 2 boards, 2 assists, 3 steals, a block. Again, not shocking. He's great. I actually have a story coming out tomorrow on Bullets Forever about Champagne and sort of like he's represented, and I think him, Scalabissier, Alondis Williams, who's the one I'm and Leaky Black are all represented by the same agent, Daniel Hazan of Hazan Sports Management. And I was able to write a pretty, I think, cool story about sort of how Champagne found his way into the league and signed his first 10-day and like how his connection is to the other three guys on the Wizards, which I think is pretty cool. It's sort of a niche story, not like breaking news like I typically write, but that'll be on Bullets Forever at 8 a.m. So check that out if you want. I think it's a pretty cool piece there. Other than that, Will Riley struggled, 7 points, 1 of 9 from the field in 33 minutes. Again, he was fourth, I believe, in rookie scoring in February, so you can't expect him to be hot every single game. Hopefully, he bounces back in the next couple games, but I like that he's playing 33 minutes. It's a lot better than him playing 4 minutes and then 12 minutes the next game. Even if he's not shooting the best, I thought the looks were good. Got to the line 4 times and made all 4 free throws. So yes, there's some good 3 steals as well, but obviously some bad in terms of he couldn't hit a shot tonight. So that's sort of a synopsis of it. Again, I mentioned Key got hurt, but he started off well, cooled off a little bit, finished with 16 points on 3 of 6 from three. Again, he sort of found a shot from the outside. But again, 22 minutes, sort of on par with that minutes restriction. And again, maybe he doesn't play with that elbow contusion. Tomorrow, Trey Johnson, 2 of 10 from the field, had a couple open looks, didn't hit him. Not one of his finer games. Just 5 points in those 22 minutes. Again, still on a minutes restriction there. But apart from that, you know, I really thought that you know the Wizards played a good, balanced, competitive game, and Houston's a better team. You expected them to lose. But I like the fight. I like the passion. There seemed to be more energy, maybe like a little bit of a rejuvenation, more juice in the team, knowing like we're gonna get this guy Trae Young back Thursday, and like this will be a little bit fun to like play alongside him and like see what we might have in the future. Like you never know what that could do for a player and their psyche and sort of how hard they play. And I think tonight was a pretty cool night in what's been a pretty tough rebuilding tanking season. You got to take those in stride, especially when you're not missing games and you're watching them all. So I really enjoyed the effort that they showed, the energy that they displayed, and they lost. And so pretty good tanking loss there. The Wizards fall to 16-44 on the season. I'm looking at this actually right now, and if this is what I'm looking at is correct, the Utah Jazz are actually winning 67-66 at halftime over the Denver Nuggets. I doubt that this holds, but like Keontae George is playing, and like that would be a pretty big moment for the Wizards in their tank standings. But like I do at the end of every episode, we'll pull up those tank standings real quick before I let you guys go. Still at Sacramento with 14 wins, Indiana and Brooklyn at 15. But the Wizards are now sort of stacking those losses and getting up there with those teams in terms of their losses at 16-44, 3 games off the worst record. They still have a 2-game lead on both New Orleans and Utah, and a 3-game lead on New Orleans in the win column. So they're standing pretty. Obviously, that game against Utah, like they'll probably win that game, and there's not much they can do. I think it'd be cool to see Trae Young back. I think that's a game where Wizards fans want to see Trae play, and like if they win, it's like, hey, you know, you weren't expecting to lose this game to this Utah team, right? You might as well have some fun with it. You might as well win a game every now and then, and you might as well do it with this guy in Trae Young, who's your star point guard that you hope can sort of lead you into this new phase, this competing phase of the rebuild. He'll be back on Thursday. That'll be a fun pod. But before that, we'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday, to break down another game for the Washington Wizards. This one at 7 p.m. at the Orlando Magic. Probably a loss. Some guys might not play. Doubt George does, but should be fun one. And we'll see how they fare in that second of a back to back. But that's gonna do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Recapping a really fun night at Capital One Arena, and a really cool moment I think for the Wizards fans. Sort of getting introduced to the passion that Trae Young will bring, and they'll see that on the court. when he debuts in a Wizards uniform on Thursday night against the Utah Jazz. That's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Thanks for listening as always. Go Wiz.